With the new year come new concerns, and I kind of thought that it would be fun this morning, since I am so emotionally vulnerable and raw, which is rare, that maybe we could just be a little emotionally raw and vulnerable together. I thought maybe I would share one of my greatest fears, and then you could share some of your greatest fears, and then I could present the biblical context for how we move forward with the concerns and the anxiety that we kind of naturally think about as we go into the new year. So I think that's a great idea, so I'll start. Some of you are like, that's a terrible idea, and I'm not going to actually ask you to do that, but it's funny how some of you are like, yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about our greatest fears. So if you've spent more than 30 seconds with me, you know that I'm kind of a controlling, dominating guy, and one of my greatest fears, when I'm not spending the year between Christmas and New Year's in the hospital with my son, we do like to do other things as well. And a couple of years ago, we brought the boys up to Worcester, and they had a deal where you could ski for a day and then spend the night in the hotel, and then I forget what it's called. It was like the Wolf something or other. They have this indoor water park. And this was about 6 or 7 years ago. The boys, what's it called, Connor? Wolf's Lodge. Thank you, sir. So we did that. It was about 5 or 6 years ago at least. We'd spent a day skiing. It was great. And then we spent the next day at the water park. And what was really cool about the water park was they had these two big water slides. And the thing that we loved about it is that you climbed up the stairs to get to the top of the water slide, and then you departed the building, because the slides are actually built outside of the building, and they curl around a couple of times outside the building and then shoot you back into the building, into the little wading pool at the bottom. And if you've been there, you've seen it. And you can kind of go with your family. Yeah, you've been there. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? Well, the one on the right is a lot of fun. The one on the left terrified me to death because it had a special feature that I did not know about. The one on the right, where one of my boys jumped into, had like translucent plexiglass along the top so that ambient lighting would come in, so that while you're, you know, swishing around in this thing, you can kind of see where you're going. The one on the left did not. It was as dark gets. And the second you shot yourself into this tunnel, you couldn't see the hand in front of your face. That's a problem for people with controlling tendencies, because I didn't know what was going to happen, and I could not see anything. So I did what happens when I find myself in these situations, like Space Mountain, as another example. I scream the whole time, ah, because I'm sure I'm going to die. Because when I'm not in control, I'm sure that I'm going to die. That's how bad it is with me. And I have case study after case study where when I'm not in control, things go bad. And don't get my wife started on this, because it's a problem. So I'm in this completely dark tube of terror. And it's and like my wife is like, what just happened? It's like, it was dark in there. Completely terrified, because I could not see what was coming ahead at all. Well, some of us might feel that way about 2017. Completely terrified, or versions of completely terrified, because we cannot see what's coming at all. I'm going to say one word, and it's going to tap into this fear for many of you. You ready? Trump. Can anyone say what's going to happen next? Even those of you who like him, what is he going to do next? Nobody knows. It's like a tube of terror. And it could be leading to a happy, warm swimming pool. We don't know. Or we don't know where it's going, because he's departed the building, right? That's about as political as I'm ever going to get. But you know what I'm talking about. 2017 holds some surprises for us that, honestly, when we look into the new year to come, we don't know the changes that are going to take place. We have a hard time prognosticating what is around the next bend. It feels like we are walking in the dark. And so it's very simple, especially at the beginning of a new year, where our fears kind of take precedent over our faith. I spent many years, as many of you know, flying aircraft as a missionary pilot. And I had the privilege of spending many years flying one of the largest tail draggers in the world. A tail dragger aircraft is where the main wheels are up front, and then there's a little tiny wheel way out back. And so when you're sitting on the ground, the nose is over here, the propellers are over here, and the tail is down here. Normal aircraft are like this. Well, tail draggers are like this. I have a lot of time flying aircraft that are like this. They're wonderful for a lot of things, but they have one thing that they really love to do, and it's called when the tail likes to become the head. Because in the takeoff and the landing phase, you have to transition from this position to this position to this position to climb out and fly. Well, when you're in this mode where you're raising and lowering the tail, especially at slower airspeeds, especially when you're dealing with a crosswind condition, and the tail is so big, it's like a sail. That's what tails are. They're like a sail that you can control. The aircraft loves to get all wibbly-wobbly around the longitudinal axis. What that means is when you're sitting in the cockpit, it feels like this. Like when you step on the brakes on an icy road and it feels like you're driving a boat and not a car, that's what a tail dragger feels like in heavy wind when you're sitting like this and you're trying to get it like this so you can go like that. I spent many, many years flying that aircraft, and it's called ground looping when the tail becomes the head. And it's very dangerous, but with some very simple practices, basically by flying the aircraft the way you're supposed to fly it, not only is it perfectly safe to fly a tail dragger in any condition you could possibly consider, it's actually safer to fly a tail dragger in challenging situations and in challenging environments than it is a conventional landing gear aircraft. I mention it because in that kind of an aircraft, the tail likes to become the head, and if you don't do it right, the aircraft will spin around and then go up on its nose. And that's a bad thing. It's called a ground loop. When the tail becomes the head, it forces the mains over, and you end up staring at the ground. And I've seen this happen. Thankfully, it's never happened to me. But there's one thing that you do when you start to sense a ground loop happening, when the tail wants to become the head, when you put on the brakes, right, and the car gets all squirrely, everybody knows, and it's the same thing in aircraft, when the tail wants to be the head, you apply power. You get off the brake, and you actually get on the gas, and you drive through it. Same thing with a tail dragger aircraft. When you're low and slow, and things are starting to get a little weird, and the tail wants to be the head, you apply power, and you try it again. You apply power to the situation. You don't mess around with it when it gets weird, because it's only going to get weirder. You don't have the power to control a ground loop from happening once it's fully developed. I don't care how good you are. So you apply power, and you try a new approach. You apply power, you fly through it, and you try a new approach. When the tail wants to be the head, at the beginning of a new year, it is the time of the year when the tail of our fear wants to become the head. That our fear wants to determine our plans for 2017. Whether it be, you know, things that we're seeing on social media, various terrorist attacks that are taking place around the world, the recent presidential elections, did or did not the Russians hack us, who knows? Will the people in New Hampshire continue to have power? Are they successfully hacking into the power grid there too? We don't know. And of course, personally, out of the blue, we spent 4 days of our Christmas break and we're still in the hospital. It's very easy in these situations for the tail to become the head. And so what we have to learn to do, and the right way to go into 2017, is to apply power. And we're going to talk specifically, how do you power through these situations? It's a short devotional. How do we find courage for a new year? When the tail wants to be the head, when the fear wants to overcome the faith, because of we're in a tube of terror. It's dark and we don't know what's happening or what the next bend is. And so I want to share with you a very powerful principle. In fact, it's the principle for dealing with this. How do we find courage in a new year? In a world of varying circumstances where we don't know what's coming next, even when we think we know, we're going to find ourselves in situations that are beyond our control. Where do we find the courage for a new year? Once upon a time, there was a man, and he had a wonderful mentor, and he saw all of these things happening in the life of his mentor, and he followed him faithfully everywhere, and they saw some stuff together. They went through some real deal stuff. They had been in a situation where they were in captivity together. They saw the Lord move powerfully together. He saw his mentor part the Red Sea. Talking about Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' right-hand man. Born in slavery, delivered powerfully, 40 years in the desert, one of the two spies that came back with the perspective of faith of the promised land. The land is good and we can conquer the Amalekites even though we appear as grasshoppers in their sight. And the other 10 spies said no, but he and Caleb said yes. And so they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. He saw literal manna from heaven. It was food dropped from the sky every day. They were led by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. There was never any question of God's presence in the camp because Moses was there. They had been slaves, now they were free. Moses dies. And at the introduction of Joshua chapter 1, we find this massive transition where Joshua is now in charge. He has no mentor anymore. He has full responsibility for the nation of Israel. And there's no more manna from heaven. There's no more fire in the sky at night. There's no more cloud by day. He's got about a million fuss buckets is what he's got. He's got about a million wackos who don't know their left hand from the right hand. All they know is that their clothes did not magically wear out for 40 years. Such was God's goodness to them under Moses' leadership. All of that is gone. Their shoes are starting to wear out. No guidance by day, no guidance by night, and no magical food. And you're Joshua. You're the guy. You're in charge. And your mentor is gone. It's safe to say that facing that challenge, that he felt a little fearful. And the funny thing about the fears that Joshua is facing is they match some of the fears that we face. It's easy for us to think about, oh, so-and-so's in the hospital, and so-and-so got hurt, and terrorist attacks, and all that stuff, and we're afraid of that. Let me tell you what's even more fear-inspiring for people of faith. What's more fear-inspiring as a people of faith is that God doesn't do things halfway. There is nothing mundane about him. Whatever his plans are for 2017, they're terrifying. They should scare you. He is going to do something that brings honor and glory to himself through his people, through his church, through his men and women of faith, so that when people who are not men and women of faith hear about it and see about it, they don't see the church, they don't see us, they see him. Because it's so crazy. It's so powerful. It's not like exercise and diet. And wow, you're starting to look good. That's not how God shows up in our life. It's when he does something that it's obvious that we didn't do it for ourselves, like salvation and forgiveness of sins and freedom from addictions. And when people make decisions of faith and they decide to march down to the local pond and get wet for no apparent reason, that's power. Our God is not mundane. And so as frightened as we are of terrorist attacks and Donald Trump and all the other stuff, you know what we really should be frightened about? Is God. He's not mundane. Whatever his plans are for your life for 2017, they're terrifying. If they don't terrify you, you're not paying attention. He wants to do something so powerful through us because of his love that he wants to draw new people into a relationship with him, which means he's got to show up, and he will. And he's going to move through his church. He's going to move through us. And if it doesn't terrify you, then you really haven't comprehended how awesome and powerful he is and how weak and small we are and how he's going to move powerfully in our lives. And so don't be terrified because of terrifying things. Be terrified because we don't serve a mundane God. This is the kind of terror that Joshua was facing. That's the kind of terror he was facing, that he knew God was about to do something new and provide for his people in a massive way, but nobody had ever seen it before, and he was going to facilitate it. That's the kind of terror he was facing. And the bottom line is, when it comes to courage, the big idea this morning is finding courage for a new year. We don't have it, so don't fake it. Is that refreshing to just say it out loud? You're not that brave. You're not that strong. You're not that amazing. I'm not either. And it's okay. So don't fake it. Don't pretend like we're something that we're not. Because if we are relying on our own power and on our own strength and our own ability, my son wouldn't have been spent the past 4 days in the hospital. And that's a fact. And nobody can tell us why he's there, other than that something happened. And if I had the power and the strength to do it, you think I would have done it a few days ago? Yeah, I would have. And so that's the bottom line. None of us have the courage or the power or the strength to accomplish what God has in mind for us because he's anything but mundane. And so let's not fake it. Let's not fake it. And this is where Joshua is. He's very vulnerable right now. He's very frightened right now because he's not serving a mundane God. And he knows that God has great plans for him and his people that are going to do something that have never been done for his Israelites. So let's find out. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm in Joshua chapter 1. If you don't, the words are on the screen. We're just going to take a look at a few verses, and then we're going to wrap this up and make the application and join together in a time of communion, which is a great way. I need communion this morning. I really do. And I hope you feel that way too. I need that time to commune with the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, we find something here that was new to the nation of Israel. Be strong and courageous, for you, Joshua, will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. I know we're jumping right into the middle of the story, but the bottom line is they were slaves. There was no inheritance, there was no land, there was no sense of permanence at all. In fact, they were used to being provided for either by the nation of Egypt or by God himself. So this whole thing where they're on their own in a new land is completely new, and the fact that they now own this land is completely new, and the fact that they're supposed to go and get it for themselves and harvest the land for themselves is completely new. And so he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. I'm doing something new. Verse 7, above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. I love it when the Bible repeats itself. When God repeats himself, it's not because he stutters. It's because he has something important to say, and we already skipped over it, and we didn't realize how important it was. So because he loves us, he says it again. You ready? Here we go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Where does courage start? Not with confidence in ourselves, not with worrying about the tail becoming the head and our fear overcoming our faith. Our confidence starts when we place our confidence in God's thoughts, God's words, God's ideas, his Bible. This is the source of our confidence. And he says it, and he repeats it, and he gets really specific. Just the words are probably still behind me on the screen. What are we supposed to do with God's word, which he refers to as the law or the testament of Moses? Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The next book of the Bible is Joshua. Joshua was living Joshua. It hadn't been written yet. And so he had those five books that Moses had written, known as the Hebrew canon or the Hebrew law. What was he supposed to do with the law of Moses, with the words of Moses, with God's thoughts and ideas that Moses had written down? It says, recite it out loud. You know something that never happened until fairly recently is praying quietly. Historically, people don't pray quietly. Historically, people pray out loud. When Hannah goes to the temple because she's trying to conceive a son and she's barren and the priest says, put away your wine, woman, what's wrong with you? Why do you think something was wrong with her? And then Samson, of course, was her son. She was praying quietly. That was not common. Say it out loud. Speak God's words out loud. And so it's a form of memorizing God's words while you're driving in the car or whatever. You sing it to yourself. You say it to yourself. You actually speak the word of God out loud. Watch what it begins to do with the confidence in your life. The head becomes the head. The tail goes back to being the tail. When we prioritize God's word, and he gets very specific. Do not let it depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. We know from other parts of the Old Testament, if you've studied the Old Testament at all, that they were supposed to wrap it around their foreheads, right? They were supposed to bind it to their wrists. As they were going out and coming in with their children, what were they supposed to be doing? Sharing the stories of faith. Reciting God's word out loud. The ultimate source of our confidence. Confidence for a new year begins with God's word. That's how the head stays the head, the tail stays the head. This is how we apply power to the situations that normally inspire fear. We dig deep into God's word. So let me show you three tools specifically how we can do this in the new year, because I totally understand that just cracking this book open sometimes can be very mysterious and we don't feel like it's a source of power. It's kind of like when you walk by the transfer station and it's like takes up an acre and a half and you know that there's power there because your hair stands on end. It's like, and so you know there's power there, but you just need to plug in a hairdryer. But you're at the transfer station. There's no GFI. It's like, how do I just need to plug in I just need to plug in a waffle iron. I'm just trying to make pancakes. And you're at the transfer station, and there's so much power that like birds are getting altered in their flight. Whoa. Like you can feel the power, but you can't plug in. Well, how do you connect with that transfer station? And I know that the Bible sometimes feels like that. It feels like, I just need a little power to get through the day. I just need a little guidance. And I know that there's power in here. I see lives getting changed. But how do I actually plug into this thing? Because I've tried to flip it open, and I didn't get the power. I started trying to find an outlet out of transfer station. But here's a couple of tools that might be helpful for you this year. Will, if we can pull these up on the screen. The first one is called YouVersion. A church out in Oklahoma has made this available for free. It's an app that you can download onto your phone. Many of you are probably familiar with it. If you're not, you should be. And so you can go to the website, YouVersion. Just Google YouVersion, YOUVERSION. And it'll direct you to a website. You can do this on your phone. And you can download like one of 14 bajillion different translations of the Bible. You can take notes. You can highlight your favorite passages. And so if you're reading one particular translation and you're having a hard time understanding the words, you can quickly see another translation, and maybe that helps you understand what God is saying through this text. And there are recommended different devotionals and reading plans. And so if you're going through a certain struggle or trial or temptation, you can look up that struggle or trial or temptation or the way that you need to be encouraged, and they will put the scriptures together for you that you can then spend the next 3 to 30 days reading through, where God will begin to move through. You can power through. You just, when you download the YouVersion app on your phone, if this is the kind of person that you like to consume content this way, this is how you power through those squirrely areas of life where you're struggling. It's very cool. Have any of you downloaded this on your phone? You guys, so some of you know about the YouVersion. It's amazing. It's very cool. It's perfectly free. There's no ads. It's built and sponsored by a church in Oklahoma. There's no ads. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to pay for anything. It's perfectly free, and it's as good of a tool as it sounds like. And so if you like to consume content on your phone, and I believe they have a feature, too, where it will read to you. I think you can, some translations, yes, Kevin? Some translations, you can hit the little earphone button or whatever, microphone, and you can have God's word being recited out loud as you're driving to work. It's really, because not all of us are readers. Some of us do better hearing than we do reading. And so that's a great tool. I wanted to bring that to your attention. How do we apply power? Crack open that's a way to plug into the power station, right? It's a way to plug into the transfer station. You can modify it and get it to something that's really practical for you. Another, if you prefer website browsing, if you're the kind of person that flips open your computer in the morning or you're at work and you like to cruise social media or whatever during your lunch break, an associated website is called Bible.com. And can we pull a picture of that, Will? This, too, what I had Will take a screenshot of, is if you scroll down on Bible.com, here's an example of some of the Bible studies that they'll lead you through. And so, you know, if Majesty in a Manger, obviously that's a Christmas-influenced scripture reading plan. It's only 5 days long. So you can do scripture readings based off of the Nativity. How to Make the Right Decision. 3 days. What? Yeah. How to Make the Right Decision. It's going to find passages in the Bible where good decisions were made, and you can begin to read those passages and start to try and pray through for yourself how you might need to make a good decision. Knowing that you're reading, that you don't, that's exactly how you plug into this. If I were to hand you this Bible and say, here, find a verse that helps you make a good decision, we'd be here all day. Or you'd be asking me, like, hey, Josh, I need some help with this. And then you might get frustrated and turn away because I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to plug in, but gosh, that's a fat book. I don't really know where to plug in. Well, here it is. Bible.com, How to Make the Right Decision. It's a 3-day reading plan that's going to bring you to the home run scriptures of God's word to help you think through different biblical processes and decisions. How helpful is that? So I wanted you guys to know about that. You may not know about Bible.com. And then finally, this is a resource that the church pays for that is available to anyone. You don't have to be a member here. You don't even have to come here. It doesn't matter. It's just something that we do. This, with the same generous spirit that these websites are available to us, this is what we do as well at River Church. It's called Right Now Media. And you can go online, and again, it's perfectly free to you. You just sign up for it. You submit an email, and then it gets approved, and you get sent a login information, and you put in your own information. It's like Netflix for Christians. There are thousands of Bible studies. And so I had, I had Will just pull up the page. And there's a library button in the upper left-hand corner where there are dozens of content areas where you can scroll through different libraries and watch different videos. Some of them are conference sessions. Some of them are Bible studies. Some of them are very engaging. There's a whole section for children with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos. And so this is another great resource. How do you plug into the transfer station? How do you power through using scripture the fact that you feel like you've entered a tube of terror? Or how do you power through the fact that you know that God is anything but mundane? He has big plans, big hopes, big dreams for you. He's going to move you in that direction, but it's a little bit terrifying because his plans and ideas are so much bigger than yours. How do I get some perspective? How do I power through this? Right Now Media might help you. You can watch a quick little conference session or a video series on something that would help you to see God's word come alive, because that is exactly what we see happen in the book of Joshua. That Joshua was brave and courageous, not because he was discipled by Moses, not because he was that amazing of a warrior, not because he had been a man of faith in the past and had stood strong. Joshua did not place his faith in any of those very positive attributes. You know what he placed his faith in? God's word. He did. He found his courage in God's word. And so I hope that is an encouragement to you this morning. That if we're going to find courage in the new year, I would encourage you to find it in God's word. Because we know from God's word that anything else that we build our lives on is we're going to find ourselves at that moment where our faith is really being challenged. And it may not be because you've made a mistake. It may not be because you're a terrible person. It may just be because it's your boy's week to be in the hospital. And that's just the way it is. And yet there you are. And you need power. You need to power through those situations. YouVersion, Bible.com, and Right Now Media. If you don't have access to those resources, or if you'd like access to RightNowMedia.com, just shoot me your email. I'd be happy to send you that link. And then be sure to share it with a friend. It's a way that River Church can be generous, letting people know about these resources and also sharing the one that we do pay for as a church month by month, which is the Netflix for Christian one. So I wanted to spend just a few moments this morning talking about how do we find our courage for a new year by applying the power of God's word. And we've been focusing this morning on applying the power of God's word through our eyes and through our ears. Some of us are readers. Some of us are listeners. Some of us have long attention spans. Some of you I lost a long time ago when I stopped telling funny stories about airplanes. I totally get it. I wanted to make sure that we focused on eyes and ears this morning so that you could see how to apply the power of God's word in a very practical way as we move into the new year. And here's how we're going to conclude our time together this morning. We're going to apply the power of God's word to our hearts. And that comes through a time of communion. Because this is what God has made possible to us, that through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ, we place our faith in the word of God, which is how John refers to Jesus, right? The word became flesh, and the flesh dwelt among us. That is Jesus. That by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, that the power of God, through his word, his actual son, is applied to our hearts. And so, yes, we need to apply the power of God's word through our eyes and through our ears, and we've talked about that. But now we need to apply it to our hearts by a simple recommitment or a decision of faith, possibly for the first time. And so you might be wondering, how does communion work at River Church? It works very simple. It's called the Lord's Supper for a reason. He set the table. We're just happy to serve it. And so you don't need to be a member of River Church, as awesome as that would be. And Chris talked about that earlier this morning. You don't even need to come here regularly, because it's not about River Church. It's about the table that the Lord set, which is the power of his son given to us through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. And so if you're comfortable this morning receiving communion, please do. If you'd rather not, you don't need to. If you're wondering, if you're not a Christian and you'd like to be this morning, it's very simple. You apply God's word to your heart. Heavenly Father, I know that I have sinned. I know that I have done things that have displeased you, myself, and others. This is not any strange thing to me. In fact, it feels kind of good talking to you about it out loud. I ask you to forgive me. I turn from those things that I know that displease you. I ask that you continue to reveal to me anything that would come between me and you. I want to be known as your son. I want to be known as your daughter. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the biblical process of joining God's family. And if you prayed that prayer just now, or you'd like to pray that prayer, I ask that you would, and then receive communion with us this morning. So whether it's your first time or your bajillionth time, you're invited to join the Lord's table that River Church is happy to share with you this morning. We're a double cup communion church, which means the cups are stacked. In the bottom cup, there's a little wafer of bread. In the the top cup there's a little bit of juice, and so feel free to take two of those cups, pull them apart, and then of course we'll use the garbage can that's out in the hallway when we're done. So I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on our time of communion. The guys are going to distribute the elements. I would ask that you would wait until we've all received, and I'll pray for us again, and we'll receive communion together. Would you join me as I ask the Lord's blessing? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to apply your word to our hearts. We're going to read here in just a moment the command that you gave the Apostle Paul, that we are to do this regularly when we come together as a sign of our faith in the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to apply the forgiveness of our sins. And if our souls belong to you, Father, then everything else does as well. And the head is now the head where it needs to be. And we move forward with confidence in your word, in your Son, and his sacrifice. So, Father, by faith this morning, we appreciate the opportunity to share communion together. We ask these things in Jesus' name.